The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 69. I'll pause here for effect, let you get out a little chuckle or comments you'd like to make. And we're back. Okay, this week we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. And this episode, this is why I love talking to John and hanging out in a comic book store. We plan to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy and break it down like we usually do. And in true comic book store fashion, this went off the rails a bit and turned into a discussion on our MCU rankings. When John and I sit down, we don't know where this is going, and this is evidence of that. But before we get into the store, we have big news. We have merchandise on sale at TeePublic. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to TeePublic and search Brightside Chat, or just go to the show notes. I'll have a link there and it'll take you right to our merchandise. And you can pick from a whole bunch of things. T-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, stickers, pillows, one of my favorites. Anything and everything there helps support the podcast. And in advance, thank you very much. So now let's head into the store for this off the rails comic book conversation. Hey, John, you ready to start the week off with an exciting new movie, Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, sure. Always ready.
Before we get into that cover from last week, Francisco Martina.
Yeah, the Batman.
Yeah, Batman. What's that, 90?
Yeah, Batman 90.
Yeah, well, we just had 88 last week, so yeah, 90. That's today. Or FOC is today, right. Monday. That's pretty cool. That's when you told me which one it was, I was like, when I went to look it up, I was not expecting that. I was expecting Batman, not the Riddler.
Yeah, it's a Riddler cover.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Bats in the background. It's pretty good. It's a nice cover, really. Yeah. I mean,
very different. You know, he does everything. All his covers are good, but this one.
You can't go wrong.
You don't see Riddler covers as often, so.
No.
Change of pace.
Yeah. All right, you ready to get into it?
Sure.
We're just going to get right into this. It's breaking news. This great movie from 2014. This is going to be fun, though.
Well, I hope you have a take. I don't know where we're starting or where we're going, so.
All right, let's play the trailer, and then we'll come back with an original movie from 2014.
All right.
I come from Earth. A planet of outlaws.
My name is Peter Quill.
There's one other name you might know me by. Star-Lord.
Who?
Well, Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw. Guys? So here we are. A thief. Two thugs. An assassin and a maniac. But we're not going to stand by as evil wipes out the galaxy. I guess we're stuck together. Partners.
Are you telling me the fate of 12 billion people is in the hands of these criminals?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You hope I have a take?
I hope so.
Well, of course we have a take. So my take on this movie is right off the bat. We're not going to do spoiler free. Everybody's seen this.
Yeah. We've all seen it.
Or did you want to do spoiler? I know how much you love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's my thing. That's my jam. So.
Yeah. Exactly. No, Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, we were looking for something to do. And I'm like, hey, we're going to go through the Marvel universe. We've got stuff to do, so
right.
And we hadn't done this one, obviously,
And I'll be honest with you, I did not see this movie opening night. This was not on my radar when it came out. I didn't know the comics. This was one of those movies, and this is one of those movies that everybody points to when Marvel comes out with something now, and they go, really? Is that going to be good? And then everybody goes, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this was the definition of Z-list property from Marvel.
You know? Wow, you went way down.
Way down. But, I mean, it was. Like, nothing... I mean, Ant-Man, I guess, would qualify as well. But, I mean, this was not even second or third tier characters. I mean, nobody... Well, I mean, well, somebody liked Guardians of the Galaxy, but, you know, most people, this was not on their radar at all. I did see this opening night, although, like you, it wasn't a property that I was super familiar with or that I was really even that excited for. But, you know, again, history proves us wrong because it turned out to be a fantastic movie. You know, it's in my top three
Is
or four
really?
Marvel movies. Yeah, I love this movie.
That's funny.
Yeah, I really
love it.
It's
pretty far
movie.
Down for me.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I love this movie.
Don't get me wrong. It's when I say it's pretty far down, it's, I mean, they're all, I mean, the lowest movie, I still love that movie.
Right. I mean, they all have to be somewhere. Like, they all have to have a ranking somewhere. So,
right. But I'm not in, see, the thing to me is, I'm not a music guy. I like music, and I liked it in this movie, but that doesn't really move the needle for me when I'm judging the movie. Like, I had a good time seeing it, but there's other, I didn't get as emotionally invested in these characters as other people did.
Yeah.
It just didn't do it for me.
Yeah. You surprised me. I don't even know what to say, but because I'm surprised by that. I guess we do have a take. Yeah, I don't know. I was completely the opposite. Like, this movie got me super invested in all of these characters. Like, the soundtrack definitely made the movie for me. Like, it was such an integral part of the like, the soundtrack wasn't necessarily part of the story, but I mean, it's definitely part of the fabric of the movie. Like,
yes.
Those scenes are, you evoke feelings because of the soundtrack. Right from the very beginning with the, you know, the first time we meet Peter Quill and the soundtrack there, like, I was invested. Like, I was all into this movie.
I enjoyed the soundtrack. That's what I'm saying. But, like, when I'm ranking this movie in the MCU, it's not like I say, well, wow. That soundtrack really, cause soundtracks, it'd be hard for me, cause I'm just not, and it's not like I don't enjoy, I loved all the 70s and 80s music in this movie. It brought me back to being a kid, but it doesn't move the needle for me when it's like, cause a lot of people go to that, like, that's one of my favorite, because, like you said, because of the soundtrack.
Well, no, that's not what I mean though. Like, this is not a top three movie for me because of the soundtrack, but the soundtrack definitely is part of the fabric of this movie. But I mean, that's not what does it for me. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed that, but that's not what makes it a good movie to me. I just think it's part of the fun of the movie, but I liked the story. I liked the characters. Like, it's in the top for me because I did get invested in those characters. I love the humor. I love Drax. I love the interactions between all those characters. The performances are great. I mean, not that there's bad performances in any of the Marvel movies, really. I mean, you can say that. Everything I just said, you can say to about almost any of the 22 movies that they did.
Exactly.
Or 23 movies that they did. But I don't know. This is just so much fun. Like, this movie is so much fun that it ranks very, very high for me.
See, I wasn't drawn to it. Like, I loved Chris Pratt. I mean, he was great as Star-Lord Peter Quill. Yeah. I enjoyed the character, but if I'm going to be honest, I mean, he falls pretty far on the list. I mean, I have, you know, Tony Stark's above him, you know, Steve Rogers, even, you know, Thor is above, you know, it's like all of these characters would be ahead. That's why I don't rank this very high for me. There's other movies that...
It's funny listening to you say that because I agree with that. Like, I put all those characters above the characters in this movie, but I still enjoyed this movie more than all those other characters' movies. You know what I mean? Like, I agree that Iron Man is a better character than Star-Lord, and so is Thor, but I enjoyed this movie more than, except for Iron Man 1, I like this more than Iron Man 2 or 3. I liked it better than any of the Thor movies except for Ragnarok. And the reason why I like Ragnarok so much is because it's so similar to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
So I agree on that scale where he ranks lower in terms of his character. But this movie, I think I enjoyed more than any of those other movies.
Right. But you just listed, like you said, it was number three for you, like in your top three for Marvel movies. But you have, we've done Endgame. We've done Infinity War. Well, we didn't do Infinity War, I don't think.
No, but even when we did our ranking after Endgame, I said that Winter Soldier would be number one. Maybe, you know, flip-flopping with Endgame / Infinity War as number one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then I mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy being in my top three or four, even when we did that ranking back then. Okay. You know, because again, I like Iron Man, and I know Iron Man gets like a top ranking for you because of what it did.
Right.
But I like Guardians probably better than Iron Man. You know, I think it's a better movie, or it's a more fun movie. You know,
yeah,
it's a different movie.
That's
I have a
for
better
sure.
experience when I watch it. I have more fun.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Like I said,
so
it's up there for me.
Right. But for me, it's one of those things that's like, it just isn't my cup of tea.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just saying, it's like, it's fantasy driven. It's more, you know, it's all of the things that like Iron Man's more realistic based. Like when we talked about Dark Knight, it's like Iron Man has a little more of that. To me, that's a, you know, Tony Stark, what they did with him in that first movie that I thought was a dynamic character. I thought I liked what they did with that. But Guardians for me is like, I don't really know who these characters were from comic books. I didn't have backstory.
Well, I didn't.
I had nothing invested in it. So I really was just like, oh, okay. And it is a fun movie.
But how invested were you in Iron Man before that came out as a comic book character?
How invested was I with Iron Man?
Yeah.
I loved Iron Man.
As a comic book character? Yeah, but I mean, were you
not
super
like I know
into
Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying. Superman, were you super into the comics before that movie came out?
No, but compared to Tony Stark, I didn't even know Peter Quill's name.
Yeah.
It's like,
but I guess my
knew
point
Tony
was
Stark.
That, but that, yeah, you knew of him, but I don't think he was super high on your list of heroes before that movie came out either. You know, again, I can't speak for you, but I don't think you were super invested in Iron Man before the movies came out.
I wouldn't say, no, actually, you know what? I'll give you a good example on how I'm invested in Tony Stark. Even now, it's that character. I knew who that character was before the movies. And then when Iron Man 3 ended, every time I watch that movie, I'm disappointed. There's not going to be any more Iron Man movies. I really enjoy those movies, but it's not that I don't enjoy Guardians, but I'm just not invested in Peter Quill. I'm not invested in that story like I'm invested in Tony Stark. I can't emphasize enough. It's just that I'm not invested like that. I do like the story. I love Peter Quill. I love the character. I love the whole movie. It's just ranking wise, it doesn't rank as high with me.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I guess my point was that you were saying you weren't as invested because you didn't come into the movie invested in any of those characters. And my only point was, like, how invested were you in Tony Stark before Iron Man? Just because you heard of him doesn't mean you were super invested in that character before the movie, you know, before going into the movie. You know, I wasn't super invested in Captain America or Thor either going into those movies. I mean, and I knew who they were. But, like, I was never a huge Captain America fan, like, growing up. Like, I had read his comics, but, I mean, I didn't love the character, or I wasn't dying to read his books every month. But, yeah, Winter Soldier ends up being my favorite movie out of all of them. So, I guess my level of investment going into this movie didn't have any bearing on how I feel about it now.
Right. No, and I get what you're saying. You're saying it's a better movie, and I can see... Yeah. I can agree that it's a more fun movie than like Iron Man.
Right.
I mean, he took the fun V, you know, in Iron Man. And it's like, you're right. It wasn't as fun. But it's a different kind of fun for me. And yeah. I don't lean towards the whole Peter, the aloof guy and whatever. I don't lean that way. And it just, right. you know, didn't resonate with me like well, some well, of the I mean, other characters.
Nobody's more characters aloof do. Than Tony Stark. I mean, you know.
No, but he's not aloof. He's just, what do you call it? Eccentric.
Well, yeah, he's definitely that.
You but. Know what I mean? Like, it's, I mean, even when they finally meet, when those two characters finally meet, and it's like, Peter Quill's like a joke, but he is yeah. smart. And right. there's some elements of that in this movie that lead up to like when he hides the orb. You know, he does some smart things in this movie. He knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. Almost to the point that even when we were in Endgame and Infinity War, and he made the comment that, like, all my plans work. And I think you and I even talked about this between Infinity War and Endgame. Like, is this entire thing going to play out? And we'll find out it was, like, Peter Quill's plan that, remember? Because when they were, yeah. when he met with Tony Stark, and he's like, it was my plan, you know?
Again, I guess for me, the movie itself is greater than the sum of its parts. Because again, if I break down any individual character in this movie, none of them hold a candle to Thor or Iron Man or Captain, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the movie as a whole resonates with me more than those right. other movies do. So, I would never pick Peter Quill above Thor or Iron Man or, you know, anything like that. But or Drax or any of those characters individually, but as a collective, it just, like I said, it just resonates with me. So, yeah, but again, like I said, we don't have to feel the same way about it. And again, I know what you're saying. Like, I know by no means do you dislike this movie. It's right. just, it just doesn't rank where it ranks for me. So, but I mean, honestly, this is already more conversation than I thought we were going to be able to have about this movie because I really was like thinking that we were both going to just, I thought you liked this more than you do, honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I thought this was higher for you.
No, no, it's, I mean, we'll go through other movies as we go, but it's, right. like I said, it's pretty low. And Guardians 2 is actually a little higher. I found that a little more entertaining. And again, it sounds like it's bad, but it's not. It's
right,
just,
right. You know, I get it.
Yeah. I hate talking like that because it's not me, but it's yeah. It's,
well, no,
it's,
but again, we've said it a million times when you're ranking these Marvel movies. It's like the worst of the bunch is better than every other movie I've ever seen. Just about, or you know, not that's taking it a little too far, but I mean,
right.
The worst of these movies would rank in like the top of you know most movies I've seen. So. It's not like saying any of them are bad. When you have 22 movies, something has to be 22.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is. They can't all be number one.
So when this movie came out, it came out in 2014, it was the 10th movie in Marvel.
Isn't
that crazy?
You know, thinking back that it seems like these all just came out a year ago. You know what I mean? It's like...
This came out just before... Age of Ultron, which came out in 2015. It came out right after Winter Soldier. We'd already had two Thor movies. We'd already had all three Iron Man movies.
Yeah, so when did Iron Man 1 came out? 2008?
2008.
Yep, so in six years, we did 10 movies. But then in 5 years, we did 12 movies, right? Because by 2019, we had 22. So
right.
Yeah.
We did all three Iron Man movies in 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. Iron Man was in 2008. Iron Man 3 was in 2013. We'd had The Incredible Hulk was the second. Then Iron Man 2. And you think back, it's like looking back at this and you think of like the pacing of these movies.
Yeah.
And what we want now and how yeah. slow it was to start.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so we had 2 in 2008, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk. And then we waited 2 more years after Incredible Hulk for Iron Man 2.
Right.
Then Thor came out a year later with Captain America, First Avenger. They were both in 2011. Then we had one movie in 2012, The Avengers. And then Iron
Man
3.
Yeah, and that's all we got for the whole year, right? Now we're complaining if we don't get 3 a year.
Exactly. So my point in all this is when Guardians came out, and this was to your point, the reason I looked at this was because Guardians was the first movie that was multiple characters. It was a group. Yeah. And it was the Guardians of the Galaxy. And to your point, that each character, like the group is more than the parts. Right. And it's kind of like the message of what was going to become with the Avengers movies.
Well, and again, this was the first untested property too, right? Because
correct.
Prior to that, we had Iron Man, Captain America, like we had known characters.
Yeah,
so this
basically
was,
we had...
This was like their first experiment.
Right. And then the next one after that was, as far as experiment, would be Ant-Man.
Right.
Because that came out right after Age of Ultron. And then Doctor Strange, then they started working their way around. But like I said earlier, Guardians is the movie that basically we all look to now. That's the bar of everybody going, well, I've never really heard of this. And right. you're like, really? Because who heard of Guardians? And it's like...
Yeah.
You know, you own a comic book store, and here you are going, yeah, I didn't really know who they were when that movie came out.
Yeah.
And look what they did with the property. And look what they did with this movie. And, I mean, I really, you know, I did. I really enjoyed this movie. I watched it twice.
Yeah.
I watched it in regular, and then I watched it in 3D. And you can hear my comments on that in my other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It is fun. It definitely is fun. Even though they open in true Disney fashion and kill off the mother.
Right. It's like Bambi. Bambi all over again.
Exactly. So I watched it with my wife, and she's like, when the mother died, she goes, figures.
Yeah. Yeah, the dads. Like, well, it's never the dads, right? Well, in true Marvel fashion, the dads are never in the picture. You know, the dads,
right.
They're deadbeat dads and dead moms, you know?
Yeah. So,
I don't know if I liked this movie so much initially because I didn't know that I was going to when I went into it. You know what I mean?
It's low, like, expectations.
Right. Like, I went into Iron Man expecting to like it already, you know, and same thing with Thor. And, like, I expected to like those movies because I knew, you know, they were proven characters. So they weren't, it didn't necessarily surprise me that I enjoyed them. Where this one definitely, you know, again, I had very low expectations for it, and I don't know if that's... Now, granted, those expectations have been tempered over the years because now I know what it's all about, and I still like the movie. So I'm not saying I liked it because I had low expectations, but I don't know if, like, I enjoyed it so much initially because I wasn't expecting to. Because, again, I'll never feel... We're getting the Eternals now. And again, that's another
right.
property that's just like Guardians. But now,
exactly.
I expect to like that movie now.
Oh, really?
Because yeah,
oh, because of Guardians.
Because of Guardians, and because they've trained us to like it so much. You know what I mean? But when we
they've
saw Guardians,
us that they've like we said last week, they've trained us that they don't make mistakes.
Right?
Or is it that they don't make? Is it that they don't make mistakes? Or are we that forgiving?
Well, I think in some cases
it's a little of
because
both.
Because depending on who you talk to, they've made a bunch of mistakes already. Because there's
right.
a large contingent of people that don't like Brie Larson or Captain Marvel or any of those movies. There's a whole contingent, but you know what I'm saying, there's
yeah.
contingents of people that dislike a lot of these movies already. So
I think that honestly, I think a lot of that is people think it's cool not to like stuff.
Maybe so, but
people were hating on that movie before it came out.
Well, yeah, they were.
You know what I mean? It's like, how do you don't even know.
Right.
And then, and a
but
lot of
stuff.
That's
why I'm saying you and I are forgiving, though. You know what I'm saying? Because
well,
not everybody feels the same way we do about all of these movies.
And that's fine.
You know?
I mean, we don't even agree on this movie, like 100%, but
well, no.
it doesn't
well,
mean we hate the movie.
When do we ever? We don't agree on Infinity
True.
War or Endgame either, but.
Yeah. That one's almost unforgivable.
For you, but
yeah, I know. For you,
I forgive
never...
myself just fine, but yeah. You know,
no, but it's nice that you're forgiving me for liking it.
Yeah,
and I forgive you for liking Guardians.
There you go.
Okay, so we've already established we had zero expectations going into this. What did you think of the story? Considering you had zero expectations, like, what do you think of this story and how it played out?
Well, I mean, obviously I loved it, you know. I mean, we've established that. I mean, I you know, yeah, I don't really know how to answer that in the sense without saying the same things I just said, but like, this This was the first and last Marvel movie I have ever or will ever see that I go into with low expectations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was the first time it ever happened, and it'll never happen again. Now, again, there might be movies that I end up not liking, but I'm going to expect to like them all because of this movie. You know what I mean? Because it did what I didn't expect it to do. But, I mean, as far as the movie itself goes and the story, I mean, I loved it. Like, I thought it was, you know, again, I loved the interaction between all the characters. I loved the introduction of all the characters. I don't know what to say that I didn't like about it because I can't think of anything that I didn't like about it. So
it's so funny. We're having such a difficult time because normally I like stuff and I can just ramble.
Yeah.
And when you don't like stuff, you can ramble. And you're like liking it and you don't know what to say and I'm not. And I'm like, okay.
Well, because when I come out and say I think this is in the top three of my movies, then right. I can't come out and say I disliked a whole bunch of stuff about it.
Well,
because
no. But what I'm saying is we're both not in our element right now. Your element,
well, I know,
is
right?
To
my element,
stuff,
yeah, I go
right, and my element is to praise it.
Yeah,
but
my go-to.
I don't
is...
want to praise it, and you don't want to rip on it.
Right. So my go-to is to be negative. Right.
yeah, exactly. You're like, I don't know what to say. I don't have anything negative. Like, say something good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's so. This movie has just pointed out the dynamic of our podcast.
Yeah.
It's like we're both lost because
right, I don't know what to say. I have nothing negative to say. So
right. It's like my positives are like it was bright and colorful.
Yeah.
I'm like, cuz like I said, I thought at the end of the day it was a nice story. It was good. It didn't really advance much to me.
I mean, I don't know how you say that. It introduces the Infinity Stones. It introduces Thanos. Like, this movie introduces... Well, I mean, I guess we had already... I take it back. It didn't introduce the Infinity Stones, but I mean, this is all... The whole movie is centered around one of the stones. You know what I mean?
It is Josh Brolin's first appearance.
Right.
We had Thanos in Avengers, but it wasn't Brolin. And it was just like a mention of him.
Right.
Did they even show him? I think it was like a CGI.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Did we know about Thanos prior to this movie?
Yeah. Yeah, we had, I mean, we definitely had him in like, I want to say it was like in a end scene where he like turns around and smiles or something.
That's true, yeah.
So we knew about Thanos coming.
Three?
It could have been.
Yeah.
But
But again, did we know Infinity Stones? Like, we knew about the Tesseract, but did we know that was like...
We'd already had two Thors. They talked about them. We knew the Tesseract.
I'm trying to think, you know, because again, now I'm trying to think about how these things unfolded. But,
yeah.
But I mean, as far as advancing, like, this definitely advances the whole Infinity Saga. Because, I mean, it's one of the stone. I mean, this is how we get the third stone, I guess, right?
Right.
I think it played a big part in that.
Yeah, well, what stone did we have in Dark World? That was the Aether.
Right. The Aether, the Tesseract, and I don't remember which one is which. Like, I don't even know which stone was in this one necessarily.
Oh, we also had, that was the Tesseract that was in Captain America.
Right. So we had the Tesseract, we had the Aether, and then we have this one on Morag.
Right. So this was the third.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it didn't introduce them necessarily, like you said, but, I mean, it definitely advances, like, you don't get to the third stone without this movie. You know, I mean, I definitely think it was important in that sense. And, you know, you start to get the interplay, too, of, you know, because, again, this is where you really see Thanos outside of just the... although, I mean, I guess you could argue his appearance in this was not much more in-depth than an end-credit scene, you know? I mean...
Well, it was in the middle of the movie. Yeah. It was Josh Brolin.
Right.
It was a legit, you know, here we go, that's Thanos. That was pretty big.
Right.
And I remember thinking that at the time, so... That was basically the only thing that really tied in to the rest of the universe, to me, it, at the time. I mean, we had Thor that was in space, but all the other ones were...
Well, right, you know,
were all Earthbound.
Yes, it was the only thing that tied him into the rest of the world that they were building, was the fact that there was a stone there.
Right.
Because, like you said, the other ones were all basically being built around Earth in the Avengers, and this was something that was outside of that. You know, like I said, I think as far as the story goes, it was pretty important, you know, to the whole Infinity
Saga.
Well,
I think I think for somebody that, like, and I'm wondering if you noticed this watching it multiple times with, you have more vast knowledge than I do. There's a lot more, I got to imagine there's a lot more Easter eggs in this because they go so many, I mean, they go to nowhere.
Well, you know, right. There was nowhere. We actually see one of the Celestials in this movie, you know, which might play out in the Eternals later on.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember when it showed up now, but I remember picking it out when I watched it this time around on Sunday. You know, they talked about the Celestials. And yeah, and they mentioned nowhere. I mean, there wasn't a ton of other Easter eggs, though, that I can think of. I mean, you had the Collector, you know.
That's what I mean. In just in that, the, that I mean, scene there.
Well, but that didn't really show up till the end credit scene. Like, we saw the Collector.
With Howard the Duck?
Yeah, well, in Cosmo. Like, you have Cosmo the dog.
Well, he was there in the beginning.
And Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
The thing that I thought about this time around, because now I guess we're, you know, technically we're done with the Infinity Saga or whatever. Like, right. That Howard the Duck Easter egg never paid off.
No,
you know
they just
what I mean?
Canceled it, as a matter of fact.
Well, right, on the, for the animated show. But, I mean, like, that was one of the few end credit scenes that never really paid any dividends later on.
Yeah.
We never saw Howard again. Like, what was the point of that scene? You know, because most of them are tying you into the next part of the story. But that right. really didn't pay off for us, you know, which is weird. Because I don't know if the intent, like, if there was intent there for that to pay off at some point, or...
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta wonder, like, did they, like,
were
throw
there
that in
plans? And... Yeah. Like, maybe something else was gonna happen that didn't happen.
Where did they think that was gonna go, though?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, Guardians was very popular.
Right.
And it honestly, I can't imagine it doing better. And...
No.
Did they think that Howard the Duck was gonna spin off of that? It's like...
Right. I don't know.
I don't think the world wants Howard the Duck.
No, I don't think they do either. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the point of that end credit scene was, but you know, that was definitely an Easter egg. You know, again, in Cosmo was a big Easter egg. But Cosmo is an Easter egg back to the Guardians of the Galaxy, so not really an Easter egg in that sense.
You know, Iron Man was supposed to be in this?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but no. Robert Downey Jr. hadn't decided on what he wanted to do.
Oh, really?
When this movie was made,
right,
he
might have been done. Yeah.
And he didn't have a contract.
Right.
And he was already done. He'd filmed three, Iron Man 3, and was done. And then they brought him back. Yeah, obviously, the rest is history.
Where would he have been, though? Like, thinking back to the movie now, like, where would he have made sense in the movie?
Well, actually, that from what I read is he was supposed to be tied in because he was actually tied in. It was going to be like an Easter egg to him being tied in, the latest member of the Guardians in the comics. I think in 2013 they said he actually became a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Tony
yeah, but
Stark.
I mean, how would he have showed up in this movie? That's my only question. Is like how at that point he hadn't been in the space, like he
not
wasn't.
Yet, right.
Yeah, so I don't know how he would have even physically been able to show up.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have figured
it out. Again, right? If they had him, they would have wrote it in somehow. But the way the movie stands now, I don't see how it could have worked.
I actually think it's better without them because then you don't have them meeting until Infinity War,
right?
Which was pretty cool. And again, it's like that's one of those things. Like it just didn't resonate with me. This, you know, they were so off world. Like, you know, Thor was off world, but it just didn't resonate with me.
Well, because I guess like by the time we saw Thor and we saw Captain America, we knew about the Avengers Initiative already because it was teased at the very end of the first Iron Man movie. So you knew when you saw those movies that even though they weren't interacting with each other yet, that we were getting there because that's what they were building. But with the Guardians, there was no indication that they were going to become part of the Avengers. So you couldn't see a connection there. Like I said, the only thing tying them into anything continuity-wise was the Infinity Stones. Because you couldn't imagine them meeting any other way, any of the other characters. You know, like I said, like you did, you know, with Captain America and Thor, you knew eventually they were all going to come together for the Avengers. At the time, we didn't know about Infinity War. You know, that was way before that was even on the radar. So we didn't have any indication that they were ever going to cross paths with each other.
Right. And that's, I think a lot of us, well, at least myself, you didn't know if this was even going to be part of the story.
Right, that's what I mean.
Were
they, you didn't, you didn't know they were ever going to
overlap.
Cross,
right. Was there, you know, and I we guess love again, shared the universes.
Only, but the only indication that we should have known was because of the Infinity Stone. We knew they were building the Infinity Stones.
Right.
So that should have been our tip-off that eventually they were going to cross paths. But you knew that they weren't building those characters to be part of the Avengers.
Right.
I guess that is maybe why you didn't invest as much into them, story-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but this movie, you know, it is groundbreaking, I think. It's a movie that it set the standard for what they can do and what should be done. And like you said, it's like you make it, it basically has changed our view of everything now, because you're like, okay, well, they're coming out with something. Well, it's going to be good, because look what they did with Guardians. So it really is.
Or at least we expect it to be good. Again, no guarantee everything's going to be good, but we have the expectation that it's going to be good because of this movie.
Right.
You know, because again, at some point, something's going to bomb. Like, something won't be good sooner or later, you know, but we're not going to go into it thinking that. Everything's going to get the benefit of the doubt because of the way this movie was, at least for me, and probably for you, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me. I give the benefit of the doubt to everything.
I say everything gets the benefit of the doubt for you, no matter what. But
yeah, exactly.
Not so much with me, but but they've earned enough. They've earned their goodwill because of this movie and what they did after this movie, you know.
Because of 23 movies that you've all just been like, got to be their opening night.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. They've earned a certain amount of goodwill.
Right.
At this point, that we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt always until they have two or three flops in a row. But I just, again, not to be super optimistic, because you know that's not my style, but I just don't see that ever happening. Like, I just don't see them ever putting out two bad movies in a row. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, yeah, no way.
I just can't imagine. No way. You know? Because if one ends up being a flop, it's like, there's no way that's coming. There's no way it's going to happen again, you know?
Well, if they ever had two in a row, I guarantee they wouldn't have three, because in the third one, they would bring back Robert Downey Jr.
Right. It'll just be Iron Man 4 or whatever.
So, no, you just have them show up and everybody's like, that's the best movie ever.
Right.
Like, you know, 5 years from now, and they're like, they're not doing so well, and we're back.
Right.
So is it fair to say that they took a fairly big risk making a musical comedy?
Well, I think it's fair to say that they took a big risk making this movie. I don't necessarily classify it a musical comedy, but it's got music and it has some funny elements, so I guess.
I think it has a ton of funny elements.
I don't think it even, like, I disagree with you that, like, I don't consider this a fantasy movie as much as a science fiction movie. Thor is more of a fantasy to me than, like, this has more science fiction tropes to me than fantasy necessarily. I view fantasy as more sword and sorcery type of thing.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
I definitely don't call it a musical comedy. Although, I mean, again, it has a lot of funny beats to it.
It has a ton of music.
Right.
It was the first movie. Like you said, the music is part of the movie.
It is.
It has a lot. It's probably up in, at the time, it was probably the funniest movie they'd made.
Oh, it might still be, you know.
Well, Ragnarok was pretty funny.
It was. It was, but I think this was better.
The Ant-Mans were pretty good, but not like this.
Yeah. I mean, they've
for humor, I mean.
They've branched into humor since then. Right. This was, like you said, probably the first time.
But yeah, this is a musical comedy. I mean, it's really kind of what they did. It's like, I mean, it's got action, obviously.
Right.
But it's, I mean, think of a scene that isn't laced with, like, sarcasm or, you know, puns or, you know.
I guess, go ahead.
The black light.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was ad-lib.
Like a Pollock. Yeah, this would look like a Pollock painting.
Yeah, Jackson Pollock. Yeah. That was great.
But I guess we think that they took a big risk with this movie, but I don't think they thought they were taking a big risk with it, because they knew what they had before they put it out. I don't know if they viewed it as a giant risk, because they knew what they were making. I think we viewed it as a risk because we didn't know what they were making and we didn't know the properties.
It was just made so well.
Right.
Really, the movie right before it was Winter Soldier.
Right.
That is not a comedy.
Right. So different in tone.
If you were to make a yin and yang.
Right.
It's like, pretty that's opposite. These two movies.
Right.
You know, if you make that diagram of two movies, that's it. Them. For people coming off of Winter Soldier, and it's all the same people.
Right.
It's not like a whole new group of people are going to see this that, oh, I've never heard of Winter Soldier.
Right.
You know? So you're walking into this, like you said, probably benefiting from low expectations, but with low expectations, meaning like you don't know what to expect. I mean, I think it's a big risk because to me, I feel like the way I feel about this movie is that if you felt the way I feel about this movie, you wouldn't like it. You'd be like, yeah, I don't like it. It just didn't resonate.
Right.
And I, you know, like I'm, you know, I like to like things and this just wasn't as high for me. So that's why I feel like they kind of took a risk on this because it's a different way of making a comic book action movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest risk they took, honestly, was with James Gunn. Like I don't know what in his filmography prior to this led them to believe that he was going to be able to make this kind of movie. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, really?
He was coming off of, like, you know, the trauma movies, you know, which, like, you know, like Toxic Avenger and things like that. You know, in Dawn of the Dead, Scooby-Doo, you know, it's like, I don't know what.
Come on.
Right.
Who doesn't love Scooby-Doo?
I mean, I love Scooby-Doo, but like, I think he was the bigger risk than the movie itself, you know, looking back, you know, I mean, we all.
Well, wait a minute. The biggest star they had was the raccoon.
Well, right, but none
Chris
of their.
Chris Pratt wasn't anybody.
Well,
this was his big break.
But neither was Chris Evans. Like, none of these movies were built on star power.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, as far as like, I just think they took a bigger risk with James Gunn than they did necessarily with the property and what, you know, what they were doing. Like, I don't know if he went to them with the, like, I don't know if what came first, the chicken or the egg. Like, did they say, I'm going to make a Guardians movie and go out to find somebody to make it? Or did James Gunn come to them and say, hey, I have an idea for a Guardians movie? Because if you're Kevin Feige and you say, I have a Guardians movie I want to make, like, I don't know where you go and look for James Gunn to make it based on what he had done prior to, you know what I'm saying? Prior to that. Obviously, we know how it turned out. So now we say, oh, James Gunn, he could do anything. Like, now we're all hoping he goes over to DC and saves all of their movies. But prior to this, he wasn't a big name director. You know, he didn't have a string of giant hits or anything. So I think he was a risk, you know, and obviously it paid off and the movie paid off. Everything paid off. But again, I think that was a bigger risk than making a musical comedy out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think Zoe Saldana was actually a bigger character, a bigger star. She had more.
She definitely was.
She was in Star Trek.
Right.
The Star Treks.
Well, she was in Avatar, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's come out. She's been in, like, if think about every big franchise in the last, you know, 20 years, she's part of
right.
it. Right. You know? So, yeah. She was probably the biggest piece of star power in that movie, you know, because,
well,
again, looking
Rooker.
At. Well.
No, he's.
We all like him as a character actor, but he's not.
Right. No,
you know.
I'm kidding. But he was probably more. He was more well known than Chris Pratt.
Well, I don't know, because wasn't Chris Pratt coming off of Parks and Rec? Like, that was a pretty popular TV show.
Yeah, but I didn't watch it. I didn't know him at the time.
Yeah.
But more people probably knew Michael Rooker from all of his movies, like,
right.
you know, Days of Thunder and, you know,
well,
cliffhanger,
more people knew Dave
movies.
Bautista from the WWE or whatever.
I didn't either,
but I'm just saying,
right.
like, there's people that.
But this movie was risky across the board,
yeah.
I think. And they did a really good job of putting all the right pieces together to make this, you know, musical comedy.
Right. Okay, I'm just gonna go with you there. I think if I look it up on IMDb, it doesn't say musical comedy next to Guardians of the Galaxy.
What, action sci-fi?
I don't know. I'm sure that's what it says.
Where does it even say that? I've never even.
Oh,
looked
I don't
up,
know.
Like,
I'm just saying
what that would be.
But somewhere movies are listed by genre. And I don't think that would be it.
Musical comedy.
Action adventure comedy is what it's listed as.
Yeah, so. Musical.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, going back to the day, I mean, I don't even know how big of a star Bradley Cooper was in 2014. You know, he had done some things, but he became a bigger star since then.
Oh, well, he had already done Hangover.
Well, yeah. But Hangover was more of a cult hit than a giant box office success.
They'd already done three of them by the time this movie came
had
out.
They done all three of them?
Yeah. So, Silver Linings Playbook, he'd done a lot.
I know he was known, but I don't know how big of, like I said, I don't follow their filmography and their career trajectories, so. He wasn't high on my radar back then, let me put it that way. He wasn't in a lot of things I had seen.
I had seen him in, Limitless. I remember him in that one. I really enjoyed that
movie. I remember him from Alias, on TV years ago, but.
But I remember him from the Hangover movies, and then finding out he was in this, he was the only one that I could, that really resonated with me.
Yeah.
I didn't really recognize the other names. Zoe Saldana, I knew her, but I didn't follow her. What I mean? It's not like I recognized her. I mean, she was in makeup, wasn't she, in Avatar?
Yeah.
Similar to this.
Right.
All right. I'm going to go through the movies that we've done.
Okay.
The MCU movies. Okay. And we're going to see where this ranks so far.
Okay.
So we did The Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
We've ranked that. Where do you, is this above it or below it?
It's above it.
Thor Dark World.
It's above it.
Captain Marvel.
It's above it.
Ooh, I like that you were thinking about it, though.
Yeah, I liked Captain Marvel.
So did I. Avengers Endgame.
I think it's below Endgame.
And Spider-Man Far From Home.
I like that a lot, too, but I don't think it... I think this is above that as well. Again, because of the sum of its parts. Because Spider-Man is one of my favorite characters, so, I mean, I love those movies to death, but... I think this was a better movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have it fourth of what we've ranked.
The five that we've ranked?
Six.
Six.
It'd be seven that we've ranked. No, six. Six that we've ranked.
So what's, the two what that are below it
would be Dark World and Incredible Hulk.
Okay. So you have Captain Marvel above it.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man above it.
If I was going to go one through bottom, I'd say Endgame, Far From Home, Captain Marvel, Guardians, and then Dark World, Incredible Hulk. Of what we've done so far.
Right. Well, but I think as we go further, like you said, that they're all good. This is just going to drop lower for you,
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas absolutely,
I think almost everything we do, I'm going to consider lower than this.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's interesting, though, because when I said Captain Marvel, you actually had to think about it.
I thought about it because I did like that movie.
Right.
But I thought about Far From Home also because, again, I really liked that movie. And as a character, I like Spider-Man better than any of the Guardians.
Right.
I even like Captain Marvel better than any of the Guardians. That movie just didn't resonate with me as much as this one did.
All right. Give me...
So out of the ones you said, I guess I have this at number two, right? Because the only thing I put above it was Endgame.
Okay, so you have Endgame at one.
Yep.
You have this at two. What did you have three? Spider-Man?
Well, yeah, I didn't, but if I'm thinking about it now, I would go Far From Home, then I would go Captain Marvel, then I would go Dark World, and I would end with Hulk.
Yeah, Hulk's going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. I'll keep track of that.
Okay.
And then we can do, when we do another movie.
Yeah. Well, I know for sure the ones that I'll put above it. I'll have to think about it as we go down the, as we go through them all, but.
I'll be honest. I'm like, it's crazy how long ago this was, though. How many movies there are.
And how many have been since then? Because, again, it feels like I just saw this movie.
That was the 10th. So there's been 13 movies since then. And then we have Black Widow coming out
right
in May.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Like I said, we'll have, I'm sure we'll get through them all eventually, but like I said, I know for sure the ones I'll put ahead of it. And like I said, something may come along that I forgot about that I like more, but right now I can't think of it. So.
Yeah. All right. Is that good?
I think so. I mean, I'm trying to think. I can't really think of anything else we need to cover.
Are you done feeling uncomfortable here because you really like this movie? You're not in your element.
I am not. I'm not used to liking things so much. Yeah.
I'm not either. This isn't me. I don't know what to do, and you don't know what to do.
Well, you know what the funny part of the whole thing is, you know, like I said, I mentioned before we started, I've seen this movie a whole bunch of times, and I just watched it like 2 days ago. But when you asked me what I liked about the story, I couldn't remember what the story was. Like, I'm trying to go through my head, and I'm like, what was this? What was it about? You know? And it's like, I should know. I couldn't articulate what I liked about it because I couldn't really remember it.
And I'm like, right.
I was
right.
Like, well, that's weird because I just watched it.
But see, that's a great point. We said we're done, but we're kind of not.
Yeah.
Because that's a great point because there's times when, you know, and I'll go back to it, my old standby, the Wilson Fisk white painting.
Right.
A lot of times I'll like stuff that people don't like because something resonated with me.
Right.
The story did. Like, I'm like, really? I can relate to that guy. Right. I can relate to that character. So at the end of it, I loved how they felt. I loved whatever that was, whatever they were going for, whatever story it was. And this was, you're right. Guardians is a fun movie.
Right.
But it, to me, it's pretty shallow. I mean, you had the deep opening part with his mother dying.
Right.
But it, other than that, like you said, it's like, it just didn't, to me, it came off as shallow. And I don't mean that in, believe me, I'm not criticizing, I hate, see, look at, I have to apologize.
You don't, right. You don't have to, but I just,
but that's me.
Yeah. I don't know that I think it was shallow necessarily. It's like, I just can't articulate why I liked it so much. It just, for some reason, it just resonated with me. And right. I liked it. It hit emotionally. It hit all the beats that made me like it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't point to a story point in there that blew me away. Like saying, oh, well, that I like it because of XYZ. It's just, so, I liked it as a whole because it, like I said, the experience I have watching it, I enjoy. Like, I like to feel that way when I'm watching a movie. You know what I mean? It was more of the experience than,
I could go through all of the characters right now on why I can relate and I they resonate better than like Peter Quill or – I mean I loved Groot. I love Rocket. I love that dynamic.
Right.
But it just didn't like – it just didn't resonate like – we'll get into Iron Man someday. We'll get into Thor again someday, and we'll get into Captain America, which probably would be resonated so strong with me when we do that one. But like I said, and I think that's what it, when you said that, like you can't think of what the story was. It's like when you see it, you watch the movie, you enjoy it, you get the story. They have to, you know, they've got to get the
I know what they're Ronan's doing. Right, I know what they're doing.
Blah blah blah. But it just was just one of those like it was an episodic event. It really didn't play. It didn't resonate with me. It didn't play in. So it's like that's kind of where it ranked with why it ranks like the way it does with me. So, okay, now I'm done.
Okay.
So I have a feeling I might get some hate mail on this one.
I don't know. Maybe not.
No, I know a lot of people enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
It is a good movie. It's very colorful. Great.
For sure.
Great musical comedy. All right. What did you think of this wonderful musical comedy? Let us know on Twitter at @brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Go on to Nerdy Legion. Check out all the great stuff there. And please, on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. But yeah, just let us know what you thought about it, and we'll talk about it on Thursday. And what do we get coming up this week?
All right. We have Green Lantern Season 2, Issue Number 1, Gwen Stacy Number 1, and, to go with our Guardians of the Galaxy theme, Nebula Number 1.
Oh, nice. Perfect. It's like
I couldn't have planned that any better.
There you go. That'll do it for this week. We will see you on Thursday with, hopefully, a whole bunch of fun books we read, because that's what I'm looking for. Fun books.
I hope so.
What?
You say you want fun books, but you don't like Guardians of the Galaxy. Which is like the definition of fun.
I'm sorry.
Peace out. Mic drop.
And we're out.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.